Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and while with a tremendous unbeaten start to the new year and Bruno getting manager of the month for January, it was back down to earth with a bang last Saturday, going out of the cup to Norwich. So I have Gary Cotter, Mick McQuillan and Tony Cullen with me this week to chat about and pick the bones out of the performance on Saturday, and also chatting about the Norwich fans we met on the way home. And the day in general, and looking forward to the games coming up later this week. I hope you enjoy it. Michael, good evening.
How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You hear me all right, yeah?
Oh, jeez, yeah, not a bother. You hear me, yeah?
No, with the headphones, with the try them out tonight.
Yeah. Very impressive looking, Mick, yeah. You're like one of those Sky presenters.
Yeah, not getting as much money, though.
Well, not in the game. No, we won't say anymore.
Anybody else in yet now?
Is it Gary just in there now? We're expecting TC as well. And Neil said he hopes to make it. You know, Mr. Cullen is coming in there now. So hey, Gary,
how are you doing, guys?
We would start anyway. Since so Tony is there somewhere, I'd say.
I'm here. You see me?
No, can't see you. We can hear you.
Can hear you, all right.
Maybe it'll kick in.
Could be reception around your area. It's not great a lot of time, is it?
No, I had to go on the phone because I couldn't get on the computer for some reason.
Right. Gary, I assume you're watching it on telly, were you, on Saturday?
Yeah. I saw the the whole game, yeah.
Yeah. I know, just before we were going to chat, I was saying we'll just... We met Neil Shaw in the airport, and Ray Moore and his young lad Anthony were there as well. Like, so we did... There was a few of us chatting away. Anthony's education was improved, I think, with a couple of Mick phrases. I know he's a tall lad, but he's only 13, Mick, you know.
Did you know you were meeting them? Like, did they get the tickets through you, Tone, or?
No, neither did, actually, but I knew Neil hadn't mentioned during the week to me that he was going okay. No, I hadn't. I don't think I'd heard from Ray, no. Yeah, so I think with the... With the southeast stand opened up, the corner, it seems to have improved things from a ticket point of view. Because you're looking at for Arsenal, there's still a few left for towards the night, and there's a good lot. Most of them are still there for the Leicester game, which is unusual. So I imagined when they did open up that stand that it would take a lot of the pressure off with an extra 800-900. It would be just grand for people that had been struggling to get tickets. So seems to be proven to be the case, you know. So we'd a painless flight over anyway. We broke with tradition when we arrived over. We were looking to go somewhere for something to eat. We ended up going to the Hog's Head. So we decent time there with Neil. Neil tagged on with us. Ray went off, I think, normally goes down to the ground and to meet players and all that, you know. So anyway, Mick, did you enjoy the Hog's Head, yeah?
Oh, yeah, it was a change anyway, but at least a nice bit of food. Look, it wasn't the greatest, but it was a change.
Yeah, I could never, like, it's a while since we were there, like, forgotten, but it's, I don't understand the reserving tables on a match day. You know, I think they'd probably lose people, you know, by doing that, you know, because that whole area was going to be taken up, you know. I mean, the place gets jammed before the game, you know. So
it just
thought it was a bit unusual that they still do it, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, we had a bit of grub and a couple of points there, then went on to McGee's. So the usual crowd in McGee's.
Oh yeah, it was a good nice point or two there, you know what I mean. We meet the usuals, and we headed down for the old game, you know. But it was quite a good crowd there. It surprised me that it was over 13,500 people there.
Yeah, I think it's and as I say, that the corner stand looked practically full. I don't know whether you noticed. From my around where I was, and I've noticed a lot for cup matches, there were very few of the regulars in their seats. Yeah. They were all new people. Did you find it the same, Mick?
Yeah, well, the lads around me, there was five or six fellas I didn't know, which I think it's a good idea. If these lads are not getting games, you know, in league games.
Yeah, I had a Yeah, I had a guy with two sons on one side of me, and there was another, a woman with two girls on the other side. So, I mean, it's great, as you say, it's great, a great opportunity for people that wouldn't normally get to a game to get to see Wolves, and particularly, I suppose, against Norwich, like a Premier League club. So, I think it affects the atmosphere, though. It certainly wasn't, I don't know what you thought, Tony, but the atmosphere didn't seem to be the same as it normally would be for a league game.
Yeah, there was a lot of fathers and mothers and granddads in front of me. I was in the steep bull lower, so I couldn't get up into the north bank because the away fans were up there. So
it was
even with the Cody 300, it was still, you know, it was still quite enough before kickoff. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, when you said parents and granddads, you reminded me actually of our great granddad that was celebrating as well on Saturday morning. Congratulations again, Mick.
I had the privilege of holding him this evening. So,
all right, good stuff.
Yeah, good. Did
you? You never got
all to. I could shag a granny there with not a roars, you know. No, four generations there this evening.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very good. And you didn't get to the shop on Saturday either, Mick, so I was very disappointed you haven't dressed them up yet, you know. So you'll have to rectify that on Thursday.
Big competition there with his elfella. I was there this evening with him. And I picked the kid up, he was crying, he picked him up, he's in my arms the next time, but he stopped. He says, you seem to have the knack. I said, no, he knows she's in the hands of a Wolves supporter.
Yeah.
Safe hands. Huh?
Hopefully, by the time you get a top, we'll be ahead of them.
Yeah. Well, that could happen.
What flight were you on?
We got the 8:35.
Okay.
So
you were in Wolverhampton by 11 o'clock, were you?
About quarter to 11, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good going, really. Did you go to the lounge?
No, we didn't get there. We were, it was being billed as the Showdown Mark II, you know, but
yeah, I was wondering what the outcome of that was.
No, we
didn't. Knockout in the first round, was it?
Yeah, we didn't. No, we never got there, so he had an easy day. There was photographs of him. So Mr. Daly, so
I tell you what the story was. We were in McGee's and they were showing
Kidderminster
angle. Kidderminster, and there's a number of Kidderminster fans there. Couldn't get tickets for going to the Wolves match.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of Wolves fans too. They get on well, so there's a big crowd there watching the game, and that took up a lot of that. That's why we were late moving down.
Yeah, you know? That was a good atmosphere, and they were chatty as well. So. You know, good old chat with
just in terms of someone who watched it on TV, you mentioned the atmosphere earlier there. It did seem a bit now there was a couple of periods, particularly second half, it got going a bit better, but it did seem quiet, and I thought it was unusual, the Norwich fans were taking the mick about that, you know.
But yeah, it depends. But it was funny because I was laughing because, you know, when the Norwich fans were singing, "Is this a library?" You know, and you could barely hear them.
So,
you know, kind of a bit ironic, really, you kind of say. But they were stuck up in the corner, you know. Yeah, it just, I don't know, as I say, just going to get onto the match now. But it, to me, it was kind of, everybody seemed to be on half pace, you know. I mean, the lineup was as strong as you'd have expected, really, was it? Would you say?
It would have been, but I think the problem was we started very flat.
Yeah.
You know, and we started playing the game around that suited them very slow.
Yeah.
And we never got really to the grips of it, and it never really looked like we were going to open it up at any time. But it was always going to be like, I suppose, the way the first half went. To me, it was going to be like a free kick or something like that you'd get a goal from, you know. And I was very disappointed with the way we started. The pace, everything was slowed down.
Yeah.
You know, pedestrian. They had they had a good setup, in fairness to them, and they went moving from it. And no matter what we were trying to do, pull them here and pull them there, they went going with it, you know.
Would you think it might have been a kind of deliberate ploy from our point of view, of being off for the last 2 weeks, and then, you know, with two big games coming up in the next week, you know, would you kind of deliberately have gone out to kind of not to bust the gut to try and win the game? Or Gary, what would you think on that?
I'd be disappointed if that was the case, because I had particularly after Brentford, kind of formed the opinion that this group of players could turn it on when they needed to. And I thought they had their minds made up that they were going to really have a go at the cup. And that's why I couldn't get over the level of performance in the first half in particular. You know, it was, like Mick said, it was really flat. Like, there was no pace. And I wondered about, when we talked about the chat last week and how the defence have confidence in Jose Sa, did they not have as much? Because they did seem to stay quite deep. And I thought Neves and Moutinho were deep, which is kind of contrary to the more recent weeks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I wondered, was Ruddy a bit of a factor there? Now, he had a good game, in fairness, like.
Yeah.
But I also thought, like, was there an element of complacency? Did we, like, when the draw came out, in the back of our minds, did we always think we were going to win? And I think I suppose when they never got going, you know, you just wonder, was it the rest? You know, was it 2 weeks off?
Yeah.
Does it take that bit longer for us to kick into gear? You know, it was a strange one, must say, strange one.
Because we've often been, like, under Nuno, people to say that you were always poor after the international break, you know, when you come back. So, I mean, that was kind of the equivalent, really, of an international break. But I suppose if you're a bit flat and things aren't going too well, the worst time to concede a goal then is just before half time. So what do you think? What do you think, Tony? We were going in at nil all at half time and come out for it in the second half. Or?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't. I know Adam Ida had a good chance in the first half, but other than that, they weren't really testing us terribly much.
Yeah,
I didn't think anyway. The free kick. I thought Rashid had dived. I was over that side, over in that corner. He was quite theatrical in his fall, nearly like a diving position in the Olympics. And then the ref, whatever happened, the ref let them take the free, probably about 5 yards from where the incident happened. The incident happened further in towards the touchline or in towards the end line. I saw the ball come in, go in. The next thing, bloody net was rippling. And I don't know why we didn't have somebody on the back post, because it was quite a long way out when he headed it back.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There was obviously somebody wasn't where they should have been, perhaps. But
yeah, yeah. I thought the header, travelled from his head, kind of nearly on the near post, and it travelled. You know, it just, everybody seemed to be caught surprised and just looked. They were like statues looking at the ball, and it just seemed to be like as if time stood still, and it went in. Nobody seemed to make any sort of a move.
No, I don't. Like, in fairness, I don't think Ruddy could have come out for it. It was actually too far out.
Yeah. And I heard people kind of trying to point the finger and saying Ruddy should have got it, you know, whatever. But I mean, I don't think. As you say, I was surprised.
There was another player. McLean was there. There was another Norwich player behind McLean and a Wolves defender. So he would have had to go through all of them to get to it. So I didn't think it was his fault, but I thought somebody should have been on the back post.
But I thought the same about the position of the free as well, that the player was, as you say, a good 5 or 6 yards nearer the corner flag, and where the referee came over straight away and just marked the white chalk down.
I think I was a bit frustrated as well with the ref, because he just didn't give Fabio Silva anything.
No.
Maybe last season you could complain that Fabio Silva was getting pushed off the ball too easy, but this season he wasn't. And in the second half, I thought he turned the defender very well, and the ref pulled it back for free.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Saturday night. It was very, very soft free. But
Tony, one thing was that, you know, in the hour before the game, you start to get the heebie-jeebies. And I was thinking, like, against Sheffield United now and Southampton, you know, we were lucky in both those games not to concede the first goal.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. that makes an awful difference. And I just had that little nag that, you know, if we concede the first goal, will it be a painful afternoon? Because, okay, it didn't happen against Sheffield United and Southampton, but it could have. And I think what masked all of that was, you know, the great performance in Brentford. So there was a little bit of a niggle there. I thought Pedence didn't have his best day.
No.
In some ways, he still looked the most dangerous player, but he just lost possession or gave it away too many times. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And in fact, I thought Semedo probably was worthy of a good mention, but most others didn't have a great day, you know.
No, seemed to have. And as you're saying about Pedence, Mick mentioned it on Saturday afterwards, you know, that like this habit he has of kind of, like, he went over in the box there in the first half very easily, you know, and it kind of, it annoys people, I think, more than anything else, you know, because particularly in this day and age, any slight touch at all, there's a good chance you might get a penalty. But, like, he seems to be in every game now, he just seems to, you know, as soon as there's anybody breathing down his neck, he's gone, you know. He's jumping on the ground.
Your man definitely had a hand on him, but like nowhere near enough to be diving like he did. I mean, the commentators were saying it was embarrassing, and it was really.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think he was going with, he was expecting one more push.
Yeah.
And he was going to go, but the push never came, and you know, he just peeled over. It looked poor now, I must say, you know.
Yeah.
It looked to me like he had a power pack on his back the way he took off. You know? But he does it two or three times a game, you know what I mean? And it is a bit embarrassing, you know?
Yeah, because it's a pity, because overall, like, he is the one player that you're watching, and you're every time he gets the ball, he's liable to, you know, slip a ball in anywhere to, you know, and create a chance. You'd have thought at this stage that that'd be gone out of his game, and he'd be told, you know, not to do it.
I suppose the other thing too, we did to make a change there. We didn't have Trincão there either. He was out with COVID.
Yeah.
And you know, they were getting a bit of move up there, but well, we got to hand it to Norwich. They came with what they wanted to do, and as the lads were saying, that's the fourth win in the trot.
It's true. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And like, you only have to look. We were looking at West Ham. How far did they were to get through, and then you look at what they call it, Leicester getting the hiding off Forest,
yeah. And that was I was looking at.
And then you had the other one, Bournemouth going out to the bloody
Bournemouth. Yeah. And I was looking at that Leicester team was a fairly strong team. I only watched it last night. Now the goals on Match of the Day, but like that was a fairly strong Leicester team that they put out. So.
The only thing I'd say is I wouldn't be, to be honest now, Mick, I wouldn't be giving too much credit to Norwich. I think it really was our own fault in the first half in particular, you know, because we didn't give ourselves a chance in the first half. In the second half, we had a go at them. Yeah. And, you know, when he hit the post and could have gone anywhere, and we were putting some pressure on it. We're much better in the second half. But at that point, we'd lost 45 minutes of the opportunity.
I totally
agree with you. I agree with you, Gary, but when the way they were set up, they said for the first half, we didn't go at them at any sort of pace. We allowed them to do that. And you're right. There was 45 minutes was gone, and we gave away the goal right at half time.
Yeah.
And which was in the Wolves script. But that's what I'm saying to you. What other teams were following our players around. Norwich didn't. They stayed back nearly playing the same way we did in defence. They're just staying in their own areas.
Yeah.
And they're putting it up to us to come and take. And we didn't do that. We let them away. We picked it up in the second half. But again, he started to guess what he'd done against the Brentford at home. He started then to mess around with the formation of the team.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that's led. Because we could have conceded another couple of goals in the second half.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to say wide open. Now, I know we could say we were trying to have a goal to win it, but you don't do things like that. But positives, Chiquinho, he looked decent enough when he came on.
Yeah,
and he's got his couple of, you know, a few minutes there, and you know, that's the positives of it. Now, the other positive is it's a right kick in the arse with these league games coming up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Gary, I would have thought that, you know, we'd have went supported in that cup competition. But
yeah,
you know, if we win on Thursday, win on Sunday, it'll be all forgotten about.
Well forgotten about.
You know?
I was absolutely gutted to be losing, like, and you know, I just felt that there was a good chance of a decent run this year. So it really was disappointing. And I mean, it's amazing how you can lose interest in the FA Cup in 10 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, I was like a child after the third round, after winning and waiting for the draw.
And then
I didn't even watch anything else after that. I just totally lost interest in the FA Cup after that.
That's a pity, because there's some teams there that we would have been playing fucking Liverpool at Anfield in the next round if we got through. So maybe that kind of taints it a little bit. Although probably with the games we have coming up, it's not a game we really need.
I just think we shouldn't be losing to Norwich at home. These days, and you know, it really was. You know, on the Express and Star, you know, the Twitter feed that goes be going while the match is on, like, you know, there was just making the point that, you know, that it looked like Peterborough, Huddersfield, that there was a rake of teams going through that, you know, you could be drawn against, like, you know. It was such a pity, like, really.
Yeah. Well, as I think Mick says, though, you know, I win on tours tonight and everyone's focused again.
I'll be there Thursday night and won't make any
fucking. Yeah, just on the two games coming up, I assume Saïss is back and well rested and ready to go. So you reckon it'll be our usual lineup for the two games? He's not gonna really have much room to tinker around with players, is he?
No, I think he'll put Saïss back in there, and that'll bring us back to our full complement at the back.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you walk it there, then you'll have the two boys in the middle again, Moutinho and Neves. I think he'd bring Trincão back in there, you know.
For the Arsenal match.
I'd be very surprised if he doesn't go with five in the middle.
Yeah. Do you think...
And he put the knocker back into his usual position, because he moved him out. In that formation on Saturday, we didn't speak about it, but he moved him out where he was normally playing, where he hadn't been playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was trying to get him to... A few times he came very close to getting at the end of balls. He was breaking from the middle. He was trying to do what Padance was doing. And I think he'll go back to play that. That'll give us that little bit more boys again, Arsenal, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that when the team came out an hour beforehand and then Dunker was in, you're kind of saying to yourself, you know, is there a need to do that today at home against Norwich? But the point was, he didn't go 3-5-2. He pushed Dendonker up. Dendonker was like right side of the front line.
Yeah.
You know, he still ended up 3-4-3 type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I was wondering whether people would be pointing the finger at Bruno and say, what the fuck did you put Dendonker in for this, you know, at home against Norwich? But he didn't play that way, you know? So it'd be interesting I think he should go with him on Thursday night as well.
What do you think for the games ahead, Tom?
Yeah, I think if Saïss is rested and he's over the jet lag, which I'm sure he is by now, and he's not carrying any injuries, I'd say he'll go straight back in. I don't know who's going to play, you know, up front, whether he'll bring Jimenez back and Podence, obviously, but it's the third. Who else is going to play up there? Or is he just going to stick with the two if he plays the three lads in the middle of the park? Maybe that's what he's going to do.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Yeah, with Jimenez getting a run towards the end of the game on Saturday, I'd imagine that was with Thursday in mind, you know, of getting them back on track again. So, but
there was a ball there. I think that young fella, he crossed it in, and that was a fast enough ball in, but there was nobody was getting anywhere near it.
Yeah.
Just like, well, at that time, Tony, he had changed the setup of the team. He had changed. I don't know if he was back to a four or what he was up there. And I think that's what I'm saying. What I thought, we saw the last what we were supposed to be doing. And as you were saying,
there was two strikers on the pitch at that stage. We'd Fabio Silva and Jimenez.
And
neither of them got near it.
Yeah.
Neither of them were anywhere. I don't think either of them were even anywhere near the six-yard box at all.
No.
No, they weren't. That's what it's called. Because he altered the system. And that, but he might play with the two boys up front, the two front, the big lads.
Yeah. That'll be interesting anyway. I say, because we realistic should be looking at 6 points from the two games, should we? Certainly 3 points anyway on Thursday night.
Well, my opinion, we're good enough to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we've the team to do it, but whether we perform it today, but I still be confident enough to do well. I think that what happened at the weekend could be a right kick in the arse to us, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's up after Arsenal? I forget.
Spurs on Sunday.
Spurs, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, so that'll be intense.
Well, I'd say my neither game is a gimme, like, no. That's for sure. A home or away to either of those two. But yeah. I think, it's very hard to, you know, particularly after Saturday, to predict with conviction like a Wolves win. But
yeah.
I think we should be picking up three on Thursday night. But, I'd say we're doing well to get a draw at first. Like, yeah. You know, based on the way they're going and, I think Conte has got, especially at home, has got them well up for these kind of games, you know.
Yeah.
I'd say it'd be a tough one.
Ah, yeah. But sure. Hopefully we'll avoid defeat anyway on Sunday.
Well, if we're looking to get to the top four, you got to win these two games.
Yeah, definitely.
They're six-pointers.
Yeah. So we're all over on Thursday, yeah?
Yeah. What time are you, Tony? Gary, what time are you over there?
This is an old Ryan African beauty. I had booked the 3:30. And
So would I.
So did you get
Sean
pushed back to 11? The 10:30, yeah. 10:40 or whatever it is, yeah.
I'm on that
10:40 or whatever it is, Mick. So we'll see you.
We're all together.
And Shane will be with me. So what one are you on, Tony?
Same, yeah. 10.
Yeah, but I booked it 10:45 or whatever it is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Sure, we'll all be able to get together at hand. Listen, one thing on I thought it was interesting on Saturday, again from the Express and Star Twitter feed was I know they were taking the piss, like, but Nathan Judah was just saying, you know, a damn a time, you know, like 20 minutes to go and you're 1-0 down, who do you bring on type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose we didn't have many options, did we?
No.
Well, you got to the cow was out. He was one that was there. We had to bring it on Jimenez, who had only come back from after being playing in Mexico.
So you look at that.
So Yeast had only come back as well. So their trade is available from the start on Thursday.
Yeah.
As well as that, I think that the centre back that was in the what's his name? He'll benefit by getting even a half a game off. You know, and then come back in again, recharge the batteries. Yeah. He's a good player, and I think even Chiquinho, he'll be all the better for that
20 minutes or whatever.
I think he certainly would be a very lively one to bring on from the bench.
Yeah,
if you need to open things up front. So in that sense, Gary, I wouldn't be too worried about it. Then you have Martial as well. He's back in there, you know, and he's done well. He's done well, but he was back there for, he's back training away full time with him.
Yeah, he's back for his monthly game then, is he? Yeah.
Well, he's two or three good games down the trot.
I was going to say, in fairness, he hasn't let us down this season.
No, he hasn't, no.
Not when he plays.
Well, yeah.
We should have a lottery to see which game the next game he's going to play in. It's a pity.
The reality is, first choice is Aidan Nouri, if at all possible. I would. So, you know, Marcel, when we need him, maybe.
But also Johnny's back.
Yeah, and Neto won't be too far away either. Yeah, so we're all looking good. And, of course, just to mention, Mick, we had a good little bit of banter in the airport on the way home on Saturday night with the Norwich lads. They were great.
I thought the crack was good, and it's great to meet real fans.
Yeah.
And in fairness, there was a good few of them there at the game, and it's great to listen to them. As they said, you know, when they get the wins, they have to enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know? And I must say, they won the game, but there was no rubbing your nose in it, but the crack was good. There was good. There was great banter. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I was saying to the older guy in the way, but I said, like, you know, hopefully when we play each other next time, second last game of the season, that we'll both be in better places, you know. But in fairness, I'm saying to him, you know, I said, we went through it 10 years ago when we, under Mick McCarthy, you know, we had 3 seasons in the Premier League, and you were praying for a win just to cheer you up once every couple of months, you know. So, I mean, that's, yeah. They're going through that situation now, you know.
But I thought it was very revealing. It's great when you talk to some of the opposition supporters, you learn a lot more. But I didn't realise that Norwich don't sign any player for over 20 grand a week in wages. They can't afford it.
Yeah.
So none of their players are there. Because remember they were asking, so would we rather have won the cup and not qualify for Europe, vice versa? And, you know, and I said, well, I'd rather Europe number one. That'd have to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because financially and that sort of carry on. But the good thing from them, it was great there. There's probably about 20, 30 lads between Wolves and Norwich sitting there with the plane was Leonardo Lay taking off.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, there was young fellas there from Norwich as well. Young, and it's great to see fellas not being, you know, folly and United.
Sucked into the big one, big teams, yeah.
And as well as that, when you start talking to them people about football, like ourselves, they know a fair bit about football. It's not about their own team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
it's not much about Aaron Ramsey, though, Mick.
What was that?
Aaron Ramsey.
Well, going to Rangers.
Oh, you didn't hear that, Tony.
No.
I did not hear Tony, no.
No, what?
I read about Aaron Ramsey and the whole lot. I wouldn't be very pleased with that, but I wouldn't have him until he's finished with whatever. But they weren't having it, some of them anyway.
No, the fellow next to me wasn't having it.
Yeah.
400,000 a fucking week, as I say. You can have them.
But it was funny. I was laughing was that, you know, that we're sitting there, you know, and we're talking about top four Europe-wise, you know, and you're sitting there on Saturday night having to take a slagging from Norwich fans after the beating you know, you're good to go. You know, brings you, Pete, keep your feet on the ground, you know.
And Adrian there terrified someone was going to tell him the score in the rugby match.
There's no way he got home without not knowing the result. I mean, that guy, the mad fella, was so close to saying it to him. You know, that he started looking at his phone and, oh, look at this. Oh, he says, oh, he was going. I thought, but I mean, in this day, he said it to me, that lad, he says, how does he think he's going to get home without knowing the score of the rugby match? You know, and I mean, how we didn't tell him.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was brilliant the way they went to play it, you know, and then I don't know what I was telling you, Tony Cullen. The fella sitting next to me on the flight was a Norwich fella. And he was originally from Norwich, but he's over here for about 3 years, he said. And I said, what brought you over? He said, it's college. He said, some college in the IFC, you know. And I said, what did they do in there? He says, psychology. I said, is that your five seats in front of, is that your first client? I said to him. He was as mad as a brush, wasn't he?
I was
a junkie. I was on this, I was that. I was sleeping outdoors and everything. He was telling us, you know.
Sure, he was telling me then that his mother was from Tanagee Road, you know. And I was saying, Edenmore, that's the posh end. That's the posh end of it. There's no posh end, you know. He says, you've never been in Edenmore, have you?
Well, he was out in Ballantyre. I think they're living out in Ballantyre. I said, that's the marbles of the milk brigade out there, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
My mother dragged us the fire side of the city.
Yeah. So
we immigrated.
It was good
time. He said, I emigrated.
They emigrated, yeah. Anyway.
I know, it was good.
Our mother emigrated us. That was his comment, yeah.
Yeah, emigrated us to the south side.
Yeah.
Anyway, lads, on that note, we'll leave it at that, and hopefully we'll get good results over the next few days. And
hopefully you've plenty to smile about and towards you at all, mate.
Yeah, we'll see you in the airport.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.